Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Shab is an Iranian-born, American-based singer and songwriter. She first gained attention in the Western Hemisphere in late 2020, when her earliest releases earned her the label of breakout star of the global pandemic. During the lockdown, Shab scored an impressive 5 consecutive number 2 rankings on the Music Week British commercial pop charts. Shab's debut album, Infinite Love, received immediate critical acclaim, with critics describing her unique electronic dance sound as energizing global pop that is both effortless and memorable. These remarkable achievements, combined with over 25 million YouTube views, 13 million Spotify streams, and a rapidly growing global fan base, attest to her talent and skill to consistently create chart-topping hits. She has seen recent feature coverage in Wonderland, Daily Mirror, Daily Express, The Independent, Big Issue, Hot Press, and Metal Magazine, and on the covers of FHM and Marie Claire. Shab has also shone brightly on the live stage, beginning with the first international performances during 2022 on a 25-date European tour. She followed this trek during 2023 with her first ever arena tour, opening for JLS on an 18-day tour of Ireland and Britain, including 2 sold-out dates at the O2 in London. The year 2023 was a landmark year for Shab, cementing her status as a formidable force in pop. Her collaboration with the legendary hip-hop artist Fat Joe on the hit single Voodoo became a sensation, breaking into the top 40 on both the rhythmic and pop music charts. Other singles include Dolce Vita, Indestructible, Afterglow, and Swerve. Up next on Celeb Savant, discussing her journey in the music industry and her latest body of work, One Suitcase, is Shab. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
Well, thank you for having me, Barrett. I am here in Dallas, sunny Dallas, Texas, baby.
I was going to say, yeah.
Come get some Tex-Mex.
Why choose the name Shab as your stage name? Where does that come from?
That's my name, actually. My name means morning dew is Shabnam. And okay. So my family always called me Shab for short growing up. So it's just like my nickname, it always stays. So it's actually my name.
Okay, lovely. And now Let's rewind. At what age did you think, cool, whether as a child, teenager, did you feel, I want to be in the music world? And how did that journey progress to where we are today?
You know, I think music is so transcending for me. And I remember during the war when I was in Iran, I was 6 or 7 years old, and you hear the sirens and the bombs, and we would always play music. We were always keeping ourselves in a protected bubble. And so I think that was my escape always. When I listened to music, I could just imagine different things in my mind and know that there's a better world for all of us. And it has helped me so much through my life. And I was like, you know, I want to create something where people can dance to and be happy and just joyful and just create beautiful art.
So how did that thought process become a reality?
You know, it took some time. And I think I was kind of shy growing up a little bit, believe it or not, coming from a big family of 13, I was the baby. So I was always babied, but I was like shy to like sing in front of my family. And so I think it took some time. I was like one of those shower singers, car in the shower, in a closet, you know, getting dressed. Like, I was like, I've done this before, you know, why not just do it professionally? You know? So one day, you know, like I was just like, I had my son, he was 4 months old. I had, you know, he's just a baby and I'm at home a lot. So I wanted to just work, do something. So I went on the internet. I was looking for producers and someone that already knows the business because I was so new to it. And I found Damon Sharp, and I still had no idea who Damon Sharp was, but my husband, of course, he always does his research, and he's like, you have no idea. He's written J-Lo's top hit song, My Love Don't Cost a Thing. And he's like, you hit a gold mine. I was like, that's amazing. He's my writing partner. He's my co-managing partner. He's an amazing human being, and just really lucky to have him part of this journey.
So for the listeners, I have interviewed Damon for the Celeb Sun podcast. So do a search for that interview. It was fantastic. But now back to you, Shab. So you mentioned that Damon is your writing partner. So your creative process from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes in creating a song, what motivated, what invigorated, is it easy every time? Let's dive into your creative brain.
You know, I get inspired just leaving the house. You know, I'm not one of those, I only write at nighttime, or I'm constantly inspired by the environment around me, the people, the music that I listen, or when I travel the world and I hear different sounds, I'm always jotting it down. And I'm like, how can we make this, like, you know, first, for example, I wrote Spell on Me, and that has like a Middle Eastern vibe with pop. I wanted to bring the world somehow together. It's like a, it's more like a world sound. And, you know, and then of course now we're working with other writing partners. Jay Hart is amazing. Nas Tokyo, Eric, a friend here in Dallas, Remy and Mike. So my team has grown. As we grow, we just keep coming with like so many different ideas. Like my third album, I already have a bunch of songs, and that's very, very different than like there's a song and it's like a kind of like a James Bond meets 50 Shades of Grey. Like it's just going to be very different to what I've been, what I have, what I'm about to release for my second album, One Suitcase. So I'm constantly inspired by people, by music, by art, by poetry, by just, you know, having someone saying something nice to me. You know, you just, it's nice to be nice to people. You never know, something good always comes out of it. So if you have nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. And all about spreading positive energy, love. I want to stay in that frequency. And it's very powerful to be positive and you know, like-minded person.
Absolutely. Totally agree. Now, you said that your writing team has grown. When someone new comes in that you've never written with before, obviously writing is being vulnerable and opening up. Does it take you a moment to get used to that person and new energy, or do you just dive straight in?
I think we just dive straight in.
Okay.
I've been put in situations like my new album, like there, a lot of those songs were written in like an hour. And then I literally went and sang it like 10 minutes afterward. I was like, I had never prepped. But usually with Damon and I, he sends me the songs. You know, I have it for like a week or two, and then we go to LA and record it, you know. But this way, you know, I've been in situations where I was thrown in and it was very different. And I was like, I was panicking. I'm like, no, you know how you already done this, you know? So I think so many times I was thrown in so many different things and I have to come up with the lyrics, and, you know, it was a team effort, and, you know, other people were in a room. They're like, ooh, how about this line, you know? So it's just so exciting to be in a room. It's like you're making a song come to life with words, and then you make the music video. It's incredible. It's like constant gratification where you're just getting something right away. You're creating constantly, which that's what I love about music, because it never dies, you know, and you're not like, I'm done with my work. No, I wrote 5 songs and I better write like 20 songs like for my next album. So I just have to keep getting better and better and just write more songs. It's not enough. We have to keep writing good songs, you know.
I suppose it's the whole thing of being consistent and putting yourself out there and pitching up and doing allows ourselves to get better and greater in whatever we're doing. Absolutely. You referenced the third album and the second album. So let's unpack. So when's the third album coming out? What's happening in the moment now in the future?
The second album is not out yet. And okay. It's called One Suitcase. So the reason One Suitcase, I came to United States with One Suitcase. I was in boarding school in Germany for almost 5 years. Didn't see my mom between ages 9 to 14. Wow. And 14, I was reunited. My sister was my guardian in Germany because we're looking for a better life and we all were split in different places of the world. And so, I was reunited with my mother. So I had my little tiny carry-on suitcase with a little umbrella, like Mary Poppins. And I'm in the airport going to JF Kennedy. And I come out and I don't speak a word of English because I knew German and Farsi. So they came and got me. They got the fingerprints and everything. And so, yeah. And that's how I came to, you know, to America. And I just packed my whole life as a 14-year-old kid from the time I was born to then. And came for a new life. And my family was all here at the airport in Maryland waiting for me. So yeah, you know, it's like unpacking those stories. And that's why we called it One Suitcase. And I thought I needed my listeners, my fans to understand my story, because that's how we connect to artists. And, you know, I've been through pain, triumphs. I had difficulties, you know, setbacks. And, but I always remember with praying, like whenever I prayed, everything came through. So One Suitcase is coming out hopefully in February. And then the third album, hopefully by end of summer, fall. Because we'll definitely have another one right after that. But One Suitcase is very personal. There's a lot of songs that once you hear it, you'll connect to me. You understand who I am as an artist.
I look forward to hearing it and hearing all those stories and journeys. So One Suitcase, February. And then, so you're kicking them out there, huh? One song after the next, album after this. And I love that.
We have actually 21 songs, Barrett, on the One Suitcase. So it's going to be a double album. And they're all... I'm really proud of all of them because I've had so many amazing producers on this. And of course, Dame and Sharp and, you know, everyone I mentioned earlier. And I'm just really proud of it. And I mean, most people have heard it. They love it. They love, they might like four or five songs, but they're like, this is just a good body of work. And I'm really proud of this, this album.
Oh, I look forward to hearing it next year. I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. For me, it's an energy exchange to say thank you to you guys for all the hard work you put in. I love the journey of the choice, the unpacking, the booklet, listening from one song one to number 21 or whatever numbers on the album. I'm not sure if you're aware that CDs, even cassettes and vinyls, massive comebacks. Vinyls alone last year in the UK, 5.9 million sales, the biggest since 1990. In the UK as well, there's a basket of goods that they gauge for tax purposes. And because of the upsurge of CDs, CDs are now back in that basket because they're flying high again. And the research is showing that it's all the younger kids, the teenagers, early 20s, that are diving into this world, not the older nostalgic people. But then we also have the streaming platforms that people consume music on. What is your observation of the industry at the moment?
I'm like old school person, and I remember having cassette. I went through the stages of all, like as we all have for our age, our kids haven't, but I loved it. I mean, maybe not the cassette thing, but vinyl, and because I was like, I want the next song. I mean, I want to just keep listening to that song, you know, just wanted to be able to go back and forth. But I do love the idea of vinyls and CDs, and I think I might even mention it to my team. Hey, you know what? You just gave me this amazing idea, because this One Suitcase, it's really worthy of a vinyl and a CD. Maybe we'll do like a little couple and then just see where it goes.
Yeah.
You just gave me an idea. I love it. I think kids should know, they should have that, just because everything is becoming so technological. And I want to feel, I want to touch, I want to read a book, I want to go buy a book and just and drink my coffee or tea, you know, and on my phone. It's like, I feel like we're just constantly on this thing and it's taking over our lives. And, you know, and it's nice to have it. I'm so grateful for technology, but I just want to be able to have this balance where, you know, the old world and the new world meets and we can just like coexist, and for these kids to really enjoy the things we used to like hide and seek, go outside, play, you know, just let's take that back. You know, I want to just live those days again. I want to bring the good days back, you know, where it was simpler a little bit, you know, we don't need as much as, you know, things are just getting thrown at us, you know, like through TikTok and Instagram and Facebook. And it's like, oh my God, like there's just instant gratification. And it's like, you just want to see the next video or whatever that is. It's like dopamine. And I just want to slow that down and just say, you know, just be in your art, enjoy, you know, you are the greatest project you'll ever work on. So just take your time and give it love, give it life and energy.
I love what you just said there. And it's also interesting you say that, because I've spoken to a lot of artists and they release a song and then it's been a few days and the fans are like, where's the next one? And they're like, we've just released this one. Can you not just give us a moment, breathe, enjoy, and let this one land a bit and then wait a bit?
That's why you have to, and you know, with the 21 album, like we were going to release the album like next month. And I was like, guys, we need to split out these songs so people understand what's going on. We can just like give it to them, you know, and people are really just more getting to know me. And so we're going to have two more releases after Swerve. And we're actually going to LA to do the two more music videos that are, they're also on the album and they're very good. So watch out for the new music videos because we might have a really funny one in between because I finally wrote my first, I produced my first music video. Well, it's kind of like my second one, but I had some ideas for the other ones, but this one I produced it myself and I sent it to my director. He loved it. It's going to be hilarious. It's going to be a really funny music video. So my team is all in. So we're really excited for the what's coming.
It's exciting. So now what do you enjoy about, it sounds like you love being in music videos. What do you enjoy about it?
I think just bringing everyone together that loves what they do. I just love seeing people on the set, like the dancers, you know, we're all here and doing what we love. You're so blessed. It's not work because it's something we all love to do. It's creating art. It's almost like a mini movie. And I've always loved movies that are impactful, that are meaningful, that really tell a story. And like those are the things I would like to do eventually. Maybe even for the One Suitcase, there's a song called One Suitcase. I had this idea we should do a short film because I want people to kind of get into that life. And I want to bring those feelings out through the music video, which is going to be a film. So that's what I would love to do.
What was the motivation for you to think, I want to put on the producer's cap and start creating from that side?
You know, I was working out. It happened one day where just like this light went off. And then I was like, oh my God, I have an idea for a music video. So I messaged my director. So I gave him some ideas where I find things or I send it to him. He's like, I love it. But this one was like, I wrote the whole thing. I've given ideas in the past, but this one was like, oh my God, I got it. I have the whole music video plan in my own head. Like I saw it. It was like, and I started laughing as I'm listening to the song. I started laughing because the video is going to be really funny. And my friend was like, what are you? I was like, I have this idea for this great music video. It's going to be a funny one. People are going to laugh. Like we need more of that. I was like, you know, sexy is good, but we want something funny, you know, like I want to make a funny music video. How do we bring that into the picture for my song? And so let's just say the Minions will be involved because we love Minions.
Oh, cool. I look forward to
dressed up as a Minion because I don't want to get sued by the, it'll be like a Halloween outfit, maybe.
Yeah.
You so get the idea.
I'm bringing this up based on what you're saying. So I'm not sure if you're aware of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. So that's the way people process information. One of the elements of it is that there are three aspects that each of us have. So you have a dominant one, a secondary, and a tertiary. Now, you have visual people that create pictures of the information that they hear. You have auditory people. Now, auditory people, they hear the words, they hear the sentences. It's all about the verbal communication. You have kinesthetic people. They process information through the body language, the energy, the tone of voice, the emotion. Now, focusing specifically on music, when you're hearing music of your own or by the artists, are you creating pictures of what you're hearing? Are you hearing the words or is it about the feeling?
That's a really good question. Wow. It really depends. If it's my own song, I'll picture it like how I want to perform it live.
Okay.
In my mind, like, what am I doing? You know, like, if I'm thinking of the music video, then I'm like, ooh, like, are we going to have fires there? Or I have such a visual, like, I see it, like, I see the whole thing. I'm like, okay, we're going to have the ring of fire. I'm going to be dancing in front of them. I have my guitars right next to me. We're like, you know, I wrote already another music video in my head that I just sent it to my director. So for me, is the live. What am I doing? But when I hear other people's music, I could like make up what it looks like. I'm like, oh, this could be something at the beach. You know what I'm saying? Or I'm listening to words, but it's like I'm audible, but I'm also a very visual person.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm practicing my songs, like I have to have good ears to make sure I'm on pitch. I'm doing it the right way. I think it's kind of both.
Yeah. Absolutely. Sounds like that. But now when you're listening to songs by other artists, are you able to just relax and listen to it for what it is? Or is your brain seeing the pictures, hearing the words and unpacking it?
I'm just trying to see what they're singing and how they're singing and their breath control, how they're, to me is more technical.
Yes.
You know, when I'm listening to other people, like even when I'm listening to myself, is always technical and then all the other stuff comes, but it's more like technical. Ooh, I like that riff she did. That's so cool. I want to practice that. Or like you know, it's more like the technical thing for me. Okay. With I'm listening, or I can just, depends if I'm studying a song or if I'm just like enjoying it as leisure or working out, because I love listening to like house music and EDM when I work out, especially when I'm like cardio. So yeah, and I'm just listening to it and like, you know, or then what I do is I do cardio and do all my songs. I do my whole album from top to bottom. And okay. And that's how I get my stamina.
Yes. Now, what do you enjoy about performing live?
I love the energy. I love giving my energy. I always, there's a quote that says, you came to this world to give your talents away. It's not meant to be mine. I love the energy of the crowd. I just love seeing people joyful and they're happy. And I'm also there with them. And we are sharing this big love together of music, of dancing, of community. So to me, that brings me joy. And when I see them and their lights are like shining and I see them as stars, you know, and they're seeing me as like the star that's performing. But for me, I see them as my little stars spread all around the auditorium or wherever we are, yeah. You know, in arenas.
I'm that dude that's right up in front. I'm dancing, I'm jamming, I'm doing my thing. I'll take my cell phone out for maybe one or two pictures, one or two phones, and I put it away. I notice a lot of times these days, people are tweeting, they're posting, they're videoing, they're trying to get the perfect picture a lot of the time for the concert. For you on this stage and engaging with that energy that you referenced, do you sometimes find that's a little bit distracting and taking away from that energy, or it's just where society is at the moment?
I think it's just a society at the moment. Like, to me, it doesn't bother me.
Okay.
It's time. Look, I always say, like, we have so much in our minds, stuff happening in our life. They're just there. You go to the concert, you're having fun. You don't want to forget about your troubles. And, you know, if you want to record it, that's going to get you excited and you're going to go watch it later. If that makes you happy in that moment, this is your time. You can do whatever you want. It's up to the individual what experience they want to have. And that's like sovereignty. So for me, it doesn't matter for me. I just want them to have a good time, dance a lot, forget about their troubles, and just like have a good time. You know, to me, that's all that matters. And for me, when I go to concerts, I like to film a little bit, but and then I put it away and I just want to be in the moment.
Yeah.
And then I'll post later, you know, because like to me, I'm really working on being more present and being in the moment because this is it. This moment can change your whole life. The past doesn't matter, the future, because it doesn't happen. The future hasn't happened. The past has already made lessons. It's just our mind tricks us and takes us to the past. I'm like, no. I want to just stay here and grateful and be grateful for all the hardship and everything that came to me because it made me the woman I am today. So it's like you honor those things, you know, and then you boss up and you're like, it's my stuff. I don't want to give it away. It was my pain. It made me stronger. I want to keep it. I think it's all about perspective. But you're right. I mean, we do live in a society where I just think we should stay more in the moment. I love having conversation, having a glass of wine. I just want to put my phone away and just enjoy just being here together. And that's why I love going out to our lake house because it's away from the city. It's an hour away. And then this time goes so slow by. I love it. I just go sit by the water and I read my book or enjoy music or tanning, you know.
So Shab, I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 10 years, 5 hours, I know your answer will be different every time. I understand that and I acknowledge that. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to 5 songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those 5 songs be and by whom?
Okay, I got to look at my phone. Definitely Rufus the Soul. I love their new song, Music is Better With You. It's like, oh my God, what a great song. Like, I'm just trying to think, like, I find a lot of dance songs that becomes like my favorite song. And I'm like, ooh, I want to keep listening to this. And I have a new one that I listened to lately. It's called I Adore You by featuring Dakolim. You know, and then I listened to, there's an EDM one called Calling Your Name by Thrill Seekers. Like, you know, sometimes I listen to that. There's a song my daughter likes called Tokyo. Yeah, it's just basically like, you know, or Where You Are by Gorgon City remix. Yeah. I love Faster Kill Pussycat by Paul Oakenfold, Brittany.
Yep.
I was actually thinking about redoing that song. I love that song so much that I was like, I need to do that. We gotta do this. We gotta, in honor for Brittany.
Lovely. That's nice mix. Most of them are on my list, so I just need to add a couple. So thank you. So Shad, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Spread love and spread your light. Don't sweat the small stuff. The universe and God is within all of us.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook @CelebSavant. That's CelebSavant.